Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Well, Oregon hasn't looked great, but Oregon is also 2-0. Ducks are 2-0. Dan Lanning talking about Oregon State and what he sees when he looks at them on film.
You know, I think they still have a lot of a similar identity to what they've been as a team there in the past. You know, they're willing to get big and run the ball. They play sound when it comes to defensive play. They still take shots down the field. They're pretty creative in their package at times. So a lot of similarities to what you've seen there in the past, with certainly some of his new flavor in there.
Meanwhile, Trent Bray, the Oregon State coach, talking about the crowd. I reached out to Oregon State today, by the way. Standing room only tickets are the only tickets that are available for sale through the school. And I was told there were 82 tickets left. And then within about 30 seconds, I got a message saying that's 81. So those standing room only tickets are going. Trent Bray, Oregon State coach, talking about the crowd.
Yeah, I think it's just got to be, which I know it will be, just a great environment, a true home field advantage. Just loud, and especially when they're on the field on offense, and making it tough to communicate for the opposing team and in those situations, third down being a big one where it makes it hard on them. That's what we're looking for.
Trent Bray and the Beavers trying to give the Ducks everything that they can possibly give them. Have you ever have you ever stood in a standing room only ticket? I would love to talk about that later in the show. Is that a great experience or not? Our next guest, former Oregon Duck. He was a kicker. He was a defensive back. He was a receiver. He went on to coach. He's now writing. He wrote for years. His column appeared in the Eugene Register Guard. You can now catch him on FoxSportsEugene.com. Ken Woody, Coach Ken, is coming on the show, joining us. How you doing, Coach?
Great, John. Nice to be here.
Give me an idea. You're watching Oregon in the first 2 weeks of this season, and as a former player and a coach, I got to think you're going bananas between your ears and trying to hold back what you're going to say in the press box. But what's going through your mind as you watch this Oregon team in these first 2 weeks?
Well, just like everyone else, is where's the team that I've been reading about? And, you know, I saw them in a spring game. Let's talk about the offensive line a second. They gave up 7 sacks in the spring game, but I kind of wrote it off to the fact that Lanning split up his lines because he wanted an even game, which he got. And the year before, they had a bunch of sacks, but, you know, they ended up being one of the premier offensive lines in the country. It's just amazing to me that there's a lot of talent out there, but their execution, particularly the offensive line, is the greatest factor here. Their footwork, it was so bad that after the game, I went home and looked on one of my old flip cards from last year to see if the offensive line coach was the same one that they got now, and it is. So the good news is that guy knows how to coach. And he obviously showed that last year. So I'm looking at his they're struggling right now. And it's all beginning kind of at the center position. They just have a heck of a time trying to replace Jackson Powers. In the bowl game, they had I got to read it here because it's in another language to me. Number 72.
Right.
And that's Iapani Lualulu. He's a guy who should be at center. And I was watching practice today, and I wouldn't necessarily put this in the paper or anything, but there's just no question that he's the guy that should be there. Football teams are like baseball. They've got to be strong up the middle, and that starts at center.
Let me ask you, Dylan Gabriel has looked uncomfortable, but I feel like that center is getting pushed back into him, and the pocket is sort of getting pushed back into him. And Gabriel's not, 6'5", who can see over that. What kinds of problems does that cause when you have an offensive line that is getting moved around like that?
It's terrible. The fact that he has such a high completion rate is testimony to his skill. But you know, the guards have not been at times a lot better. That it's just maybe partly the teamwork between the center and guards, but it's not good for a quarterback. And, you know, last year, it seems like the Ducks, and I don't blame them, have been a little vanilla to this point. But with Nix last year, they had a variety of ways of getting him outside to where, let's say, they'd have Ferguson as kind of a slot back who would just wait for Nix to roll out towards him, and he would pick off the edge guy because it's really hard to block that edge guy from somebody on an inside position. They didn't show any of that. They're going to need to do that to move the pocket around. And whether it's Gabriel, who is shorter than Nix, but he sees pretty well for all those green jerseys getting pushed back in his face.
Ken Woody is with us, former Duck, played corner and receiver and kicker for Oregon 1966 to 70, and then went on to coach as an assistant at Oregon, an assistant at Washington, assistant at Washington State, Utah State, and a head college at Whitman College. You know, Coach, let me ask you this. Oregon seemed to be shuffling around guys in the second half. That third quarter, they moved a guard to center and then brought somebody else in. Those three interior linemen on the offensive side, they were kind of tinkering there or MacGyvering it a little bit, had a little more success. How much better can a unit get, you know, with a week of practice, working together? What have you seen in your career coaching?
I think Lanning is doing a great job, and he said something that made a lot of sense to me when he was talking about Whittington dropping the ball before he went over the line, the goal line, and it fell on for a touchdown. It could have been a turnover, but he said, you know, we coach that you're supposed to hand the ball to the official, and he said, evidently we haven't coached it well enough, and we're going to coach it harder. And so, to me, you know, coaching can be the problem, i.e., you lose track of whether he's handing the ball to the official or not. And good coaching, which is you got eyes on it all the time. They've got like 29 coaches. So there's enough guys to look at all the minute details that, you know, a smaller staff wouldn't be able to do.
Can the offensive line get better in a short period of time? Would you expect that they'll get better and better? Or do you just kind of have who you have?
They've got enough young guys who are good athletes, who are good sized, and I think the schedule's working a little bit in their favor with bye week, and then you know, they're not having to start out against Michigan or any of those guys. But I think they can get better. I have faith in their coaching, and when the head coach says, "Hey, look, we didn't coach them good enough, and we're going to coach them better," I take him at his word, particularly after they played Washington 2 years ago when they could not stop Washington here at home, and then they played Utah here. And the next week I saw him, he is almost like he became the defensive coordinator. You could see
100%.
On the sidelines.
And
it was his deal, and guess what? They played their rear end off, and they were a lot better. And so I think that, you know, it's just a head coach. It's like Don James. I was greatly influenced by him, and he said his job was to coach the coaches, and that's what he'd do. He'd go around to every drill, and he'd point out stuff. And you know, Bill Walsh was the same way. The head coach has got to do that, and I think maybe I wouldn't print this, but maybe you need a gut check sometimes to go, hey, you know, I need to do a better job of this. So and don't let things slough off. You know, I used to have a drill where my players, I told them, okay, well, I want you to start behind the line, and I'd look, and there were three guys with their hand over the line. And of course, they needed to have some after practice discipline, but I was just shocked that I just said, man, I'm speaking English. You can understand it. Do you know what the line is? Get behind the frickin' line. And kids get tired, and they, you know, the attention span of kids is not, well, they're young men, but even young men don't pay attention all the time. And that's the way it is. You've got to be disciplined. I always used to tell my players, why is it that the three top teams in the country avoiding penalties are the service academies? Well, yeah, they're disciplined. I said, well, why can't liberal arts college guys be disciplined too? And then they kind of go, well, hey, yeah, okay.
I love it first. Yeah, Ken Woody is with us, former defensive back and receiver at Oregon, coached football for 18 years. All right, I have a question for you, because the transfer portal, you got all these teams, not just Oregon, a lot of teams that are bringing in new guys, new faces, and I was looking at Oregon's depth chart, you know, late in the spring, into fall camp, and I thought, gosh, there could be 13 transfers that start out of the 22 starters. I wonder how that'll affect kind of team chemistry, guys playing together. Is it possible that some of what we've seen is due to the fact that these guys did not play together last season? Dylan Gabriel's come in and he's worked with guys, but you know, now we're seeing live fire. I mean, is that a reach, Ken, or is it possible that we're seeing a little team chemistry being worked out?
I think that's absolute prophecy on your part that you notice that. When you look at Oregon's defense, they've got eight transfers starting, and everyone, and I think the defense has played really well so far, especially the secondary. But, you know, these guys all had experience in another system somewhere else. Maybe some of them got for spring, some of them not. But that was the Idaho game was their first game as an Oregon Duck. So it's not like all the experience they bring in transcends the experience that somebody who's been at Oregon a couple of years has accumulated. So I think that's especially an issue. And when you talk about quarterbacks working with wide receivers, when you look at the quarterback's role in, you know, and Nick's would comment on this every once in a while, and so did Herbert, that they have to help on calling the pass protection because they can see things that the linemen can't necessarily see. And there's a time that a guy comes scot-free off the corner of the formation, and you go, well, the tackle missed him. No, maybe the quarterback should have shifted the protection to the left side to pick that up and read a guy hot on the other side. So when you say they need to work with the players that matter most, it would probably be good to help to work with linemen, because that's absolutely critical, because a breakdown there, you get a hit, a fumble, you know, that's how games can be lost. This game scares me to death because it just reminds me of ones I was in when I played at Oregon. You know, we'd have a better team and we go up there and the Beavs, they're a nasty group up in Corvallis, and to take them lightly would be a big mistake, especially, you know, coaches say that we make our best improvement over the season from game 2 to 3. Well, that didn't work at all. So they better make some improvement from game 2 to 3, or right, they could very well lose this game.
Yeah, that week 1 to week 2 growth is supposed to be huge, and then now comes 2 to 3. Let's go back to your time as a player, 1966 to 1970, you know, Civil War. What are your memories of the rivalry?
Well, probably the best one was when I was a redshirt. We played Beavers down here. We were ahead 10-0, and I think in the fourth quarter, and the last 5 minutes they scored twice and won. And after the game, my parents were staying at the Ramada Inn, and I went over with them, and we were going to go out to dinner. And when we got there, there were these two, like, 80-year-old ladies up on the veranda, and they were yelling down at their, it looked like their husbands. One guy was wearing an Oregon State beanie, black and orange. Another guy, a long green and yellow scarf. And they were both, they were 82, and they were drunk, and they were throwing punches and stuff. And my dad and mom were from Seattle. And my dad goes, wow, this is quite a rivalry. So we had my senior year, we got beat up in Corvallis. And we lost down here. It was always something freaky happened. And and John Robinson told me, I studied under him when I really had a big impact on my coaching. But he told me when he was at SC that the biggest mistake that we made at Oregon was we were so pass oriented that when November came and, you know, the field would be muddy, and he said, we just couldn't run the ball. And he says, you got to run the ball to win, and especially in November. So I would say the Ducks have got to run the ball in September, because to get a hundred, and they've only got 212 yards in two games. That's embarrassing. That's absolutely embarrassing. And, Gabriel can have 400 yards. If you get 100 yards rushing against a good team, I think you're going to lose.
Ken Woody is with us. All right, I'm going to ask you, you know, Ohio State is looming on October 12th. That's getting way ahead. Coaches don't like to look way ahead, but I'm going to make you do it. Right now, they play today. I mean, I think Ohio State runs them out of the stadium. Can they make the adjustments? Can they get it together between now and October 12th? They've got a month.
I would say so. The big factor they got going for them is it's going to be in Eugene. That's going to be, if Ohio State thinks they got it made, they'll have their own experience psychologically playing in Eugene. And then it works just the same way it works for Oregon State. Oregon would be maybe underdog, and they're playing at home, but they got some weapons. They definitely have some weapons. And if they get the offensive line, they've got to be able to be a force on offense. And I think, you look sometimes at their play selection, you go, well, I'd like to see something different. But right now, they're underdog. So that game doesn't matter. If you don't beat Oregon State, then we're putting a house up for sale.
There you go, Ken Woody. You're the best. I appreciate you, Ken. Keep up the fight.
Okay, John. Nice talking to you.
You too, buddy. There he goes. You can read his work now, FoxSportsEugene.com. That's where his column is appearing after further review. Loved having him on. If they don't win, you can put the house up for sale. How about that? All right. Our big splash is coming up.